Right, Georgie Codd is joining me now on Skype. Good afternoon, Georgie, how are you? Oh, hang on, let me do this. Hang on. I'm going to say hello again because I pressed the wrong button. Hi, Georgie.
Hello.
There you are. Lovely stuff. Fantastic. I'm reading about you here and it says that Georgie has worked behind the scenes at a funeral parlour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Taught English in the Himalayan nunnery. Edited publications for Tibetan Government in Exile and Shadow Drug Dealers in Florida City. She is a graduate of the University of East Anglia's prose writing, where her flash fiction won the Seth Donaldson Bursary. So are you like 75 or something?
No, I just get bored extremely quickly.
But it's quite, I mean, I could talk to you, there's so much there I could talk to you about, but obviously that's not the main reason for the interview, but just wanted to ask you about how you ended up shadowing drug dealers in Florida City. I'm assuming you were doing that in a kind of research type way, not just because it was something interesting to do.
Actually, I've got to be honest, I thought it was something quite interesting to do. I was hanging around in a hostel and there was really nothing going on, and it just so happened that one of the people I was really friendly with announced that he was a bit of a drug dealer on the side.
And like you do. Yeah.
God, what is this? So, yes, anyway, that was a strange afternoon.
Oh, okay. I thought you were doing some reporting on it or something, but I thought that'd be good. it's great what you've done, really, loads of stuff. Now, let's talk about the book. It's called We Swim to the Shark, and there is a bit of a spoiler alert, although we're not going to give it away. We're not going to tell everybody the outcome of this story.
So no, they've got to absolutely
buy the book. Yeah.
Yeah,
and
they do.
And even then, if it becomes a series on Netflix, we don't want to give it away too early. So, let's just start off, because you've got a great name for this book, by the way, as well, Georgie Codd. I've got to say that.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know. Brilliant. You were scared of fish. So does that go right back to your childhood?
Yeah, well, it kind of developed over a few years, but I grew up by the sea, and when I was really young, it didn't bother me, the fish. I'd be quite excited if I saw one. And then, you watch Jaws about 20 times too many, and I got bitten a couple of times, and I started thinking, uh-oh, I'm really not sure about these. And then my mother took me on holiday to Australia, very lucky to go when I was about 15, and took me to the Great Barrier Reef. It's supposed to be, trip of a lifetime, and I floated around and had a panic attack as soon as I saw these fish, and that was it. Like, no, can't do fish. I'm phobic. Yuck. Ugh.
But where did that panic attack come from? I mean, is it possible to know psychologically why that happened, why that came about? Because, like you say, you were used to being in water. It wasn't. I mean, our kids, we live on the Costa del Sol, and our kids go in the sea. It took George was four, and it took him. Last year he went in the sea on not on his own, but without us having to hold him. And so it's very much like fish the water, type of thing. They're straight in there, they love it. You mentioned the Jaws movies. Is there more to it? I mean, I love Jaws, the film, but is there more to it than that, or is it possible to work out where it all came from?
Well, I think it's a bit complicated. It's not just fish, it's kind of what fish represent, partly. If I start thinking about it, it's one thing that really freaked me out a lot about fish is that you can't tell what they're thinking. You look into their eyes, and with sharks especially, you're like, oh my god, I'm looking at a serial killer, what's going to happen?
Like dead eyes, aren't they? Like, there's not much warmth in there.
Yeah, and you feel you are literally out of your element. And also, the other thing I learned in the process of writing this book is that phobias are learned behaviors. No one's born with a phobia. So I just happened to be attracted or put in the way of certain things that kind of cultivated this fear.
I know you're going to mention your family as well, because I think it was, you're not the only one who had this issue. I noticed my phobias are being passed on to my kids, and I'm not doing it on purpose, but I have to be aware, because I hate cockroaches. I can pick up a spider and move it out of the house, but if a cockroach scurries across the floor, I'm standing up on the bed, which is of no use whatsoever, because cockroaches can apparently go up beds as well. Now my daughter's, when she sees one, she screams, and that she's picked up from me, because nobody else has come in and taught her that they're to be scared of.
Yes, absolutely. And my grandmother was very afraid of, she didn't express the fear overtly, but she told me all sorts of horrible stories about the sea.
Yeah.
She'd seen people drowning when she was a child, and she would never go in the water. And I think probably some of my subconscious just latched onto that, and it became all linked with the whole fish thing.
So it's almost out of balance a little bit, because I think you've got to have a healthy respect for the sea and for swimming pools, especially here. We hear every year people, sadly, kids that have fallen into a pool, and it's just a horrendous situation. And so that's very much on my mind when the kids are in the pool or in the sea. But it's getting that balance right, isn't it, between respecting it but enjoying it as well.
Yeah, I think that's right. You can enjoy the sea as long as when you're in it, or water, that you're just aware of the risks.
Yeah,
there are, because drowning is, I think it's the third leading cause of unintentional deaths in the world. Wow. Or something. And yeah, the highest numbers are among kids. So it does make sense to be wary of the water, but you can still have a great time in it if you're, you know, you pay attention.
And of course, I mean, I know you were living near the coast as well, but if you're living, I lived in Derby most of my childhood. I was in Derby or Midlands, so, you know, going to the sea was like once a year thing for us. But now I live near the sea, and in our summertime, rivers, seas, and pools are very much part of our summer as a family. Mm. Was it that you wanted to overcome this fear because you knew that lots of other people were having great fun in the water?
Yeah, it was partly that. Partly I remembered loving it. Partly fed up of being somebody called Cod who has to admit that she's afraid of fish, because that's just ridiculous. And then
Did you like fish and chips, though?
I did for a while, but I'm vegetarian. Oh, right, so okay. When I turned 9, I was like, oh, God, no, fish are animals too. Yeah. I can't eat those. But it was more, I had this idea that I was stuck in a rut in my life in London when this book started at age 28. And I wanted to be an ocean explorer. I wanted to be the next Jacques Cousteau. I wanted to get my boat, go on the seven seas, and just not be afraid of anything anymore. Yeah. And I had to do that by, I told myself, if I could swim with a whale shark, the biggest fish in the world, then maybe that could happen. So the whole book is a quest to try and overcome that, and it got complicated.
Now, so it's almost like, for me, I've always loved the film Jaws, and I think partly not because of the shark, but purely because of the biggest backdrop there being the ocean itself. I've got this affinity with the ocean. I really love it. I love going on boats. My wife gets seasick, so she doesn't always want to go on a boat trip in the summer, but I just love being out there. And I like my country music, where they're talking about being out on boats and pirates at 40 and stuff like that kind of music. And it just seems to me that even though there was a fear there for you, you had this, like you say, this attraction to the sea. You were drawn to the sea.
Yeah, absolutely. And early in the book, in the process, I travelled to Thailand as well, because I thought that's like a mecca, really, for scuba diving. I thought, I'm going to learn how to dive. So there's a lot of diving in the book. And when I was there, I met all sorts of other people who were diving, but also scared, but attracted to the water and kind of compelled to be there. And the more people I spoke to, the more I found people who'd had awful things happen to them in the sea, but they couldn't keep themselves from going back.
Yeah, so it wasn't the fact that bad things can happen. It was the fact that you weigh them up and you say, you know what, actually, you know what, it's worth it, because I want to go and do it. So obviously, we don't get too much away, but you go to this completely immersive, if you excuse the pun, therapy. And that must have been very daunting for you.
It was quite scary, and I decided I had to make it extra, well, not extra hard for myself, but I thought this is something I had to do on my own primarily. So I was solo traveling to Thailand and other places. And that often, actually heading out on my own would be some of the scariest bits that were happening.
Did you not think to take your boyfriend or to go with somebody else as support for you? Or?
Well, I thought about it, but my boyfriend at the time wasn't too interested, and I also thought it might cramp my style as the next Jacques Cousteau if I had to drag my partner around everywhere.
Says here in my research, Georgie's boyfriend is supportive. So
he's supportive. He was like, "Yeah, you go do it. It'll be fun."
Okay, but I'll stay here. Yeah,
yeah. Right. Basically.
And of course, there's so many twists and turns to this, and there's loads of stuff. And obviously, you're seeking the kind of the mecca, really, and that's the sea of shark. And obviously, I think, without giving too much away, you've obviously overcome your fear, but the real story is in how you did that. And what is it like now going up to the sea and walking in and...
I wouldn't necessarily say I've overcome my fear.
Yeah.
I think I've learnt to manage some aspects of it. I can go into the sea much more easily now.
Yeah.
And there's lots of little things you can do if you have a fear or your tendency to panic like that. And I talk about some of those approaches in the book.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of just, you know, deep breathing, reasoning with yourself, telling yourself you can cope with things and things that you've done in the past that show you can cope, and you get there basically. It gets easier.
What about swimming pools?
I love them. Give me one. I want one now.
Well, we got one at our house. On our urbanisation. Oh. But you need to come out here because there's loads of pools here. As you say, you've not fully overcome it. And what I like about it is a lot of books do come out and, yes, I've overcome it, fine, you know, chuck me off a boat now, I'll be absolutely great. But life isn't like that. And a lot of times we expect a happy ending, and it's not always that. It's almost what's happy for you, isn't it? And so you've found it almost like a compromise. So, but in doing, you know, in facing your fears dead on, has that taught you in other areas of your life?
Yeah, I think... what I've learned is that most fears that I've seen or noticed in myself are rooted to the unknown.
Yeah.
And the only way to start handling the unknown is to try and know more about it. So that's become my approach. If something looks scary or feels terrifying, I've got to kind of sit with it and take a look and what's actually here,
yeah.
What's going on, what am I afraid of, and that's really helpful.
So you're somebody that you see an opportunity, but you'd weigh it up first, you'd look into it.
I weigh it up, but I probably do it because I beat myself up when I miss those opportunities.
Well, that was like me when I was looking at moving to Spain. I was thinking this could all go wrong. So I know you quit your job, didn't you, at one point to go and on this journey. And I quit a regular income to come to Spain and not knowing what the future is going to hold. But somebody once said to me, Dave, can you live with the what ifs? And it was like, for me, that was a massive thing because I couldn't live with what if Spain was the right idea. You know, what if that was the course I was meant to be on, you know?
Yeah, and does it feel like it was the right decision?
No, I want to come back. No, 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 okay. No. It is. I'm loving it. Yeah, and there's always pros and cons. And I think again, like I said earlier, we expect a happy ending, but you've got to find your own happiness. And sometimes that's a little bit different to what you envisage it to be. So maybe you did you envisage that one day I will overcome my fear of whatever's under that water and I will be fine? And so were you disappointed when you didn't quite reach that pinnacle that you thought you were going to get to, or did you ever think you were going to get there?
I think the quest of this book, or the trajectory of this book, covers a period of 4 years.
Yeah.
So it was becoming a little bit apparent along the way that maybe I'm not going to be able to get rid of the idea of fear altogether. So I had a bit of pre-warning.
Yeah.
But you're so right talking about taking risks and the what ifs, because it's so easy. You could just sit on your sofa and you're basically risk-free, apart from maybe a heart attack, choking on a crisp or something.
Yes, that's
but you've got to get out there. You've got to get out there. The world is for living in and seeing and exploring, and there's so much to do.
Yeah. So what's your next adventure then? Do you know?
Yeah, I have got an adventure, but I can't. I'm going to be one of those annoying authors who say, I can't go into it right now.
Annoying author you are.
I'm sorry. But it's been fun so far, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with the world, hopefully.
Nobody's listening. You'll be all right. No, I'm joking. But listen, whatever you're doing next, wish you all the very best, and do let us know. We'll get you back on again, that's for sure. And wish you all the best with the book. It's called We Swim to the Shark, Overcoming Fear, One Fish at a Time. It's available on our website. If you want to go to tre.radio, you can order yourself a copy of the book on our bookshop banner there as well. And I mean, this is an adventure in its own right, bringing a book out, isn't it, I suppose?
Absolutely, and it's bloody terrifying.
Brilliant. Which one's worse, though, jumping in the sea or bringing a book out? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know, because you can kind of get back in the boat, can't you?
Exactly.
But the book's just coming out. I can't do anything about it now.
It will all be fine.
Thank you, Dave. I hope you're right.
I hope so. Now I'm going to play The Tide Is High by Blondie. A bit predictable, but here we go. Thank you very much, George. Georgie, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it. And all the best for the future.
Thanks so much.
Take care. Happy swimming. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.